RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Very, very high on Josh Allen. To me, he's the best quarterback in football. But Josh Allen is running out of excuses team-wise. You probably agree with me. This year, more than any other year, I know they're not going to have a home game. Nobody's probably going to come to Buffalo. That would be a pretty big advantage. But Josh Allen, he has his Robin right now with James Cook. The receiving core, not the best. But the AFC is not strong. They're still, in my opinion, the strongest team in the AFC.
David Terapoli on the Bills and the playoffs and the AFC and Josh Allen. 803-0550 is the phone number. Good morning. It's a pretty chilly Boxing Day. Boxing Day is not really an American holiday, though, is it? It's more Canada and Britain, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's a Canadian or British, really.
British.
It's the biggest.
Yeah.
You know, boxing. I don't – what is it just – because you have the day after Christmas off, that's just what it is. Is there any reason behind it?
I don't know. I want to imagine boxing has something to do, just a total guess here, with boxes after Christmas. That's,
I believe that is what
it originated as a day for the wealthy to give Christmas boxes with gifts, money, or leftovers to servants, I guess. That's where the origination comes from.
It's,
you know, our butler's Christmas.
I guess so.
The day after Christmas?
It's giving them the presents that I didn't want?
Them and the less fortunate presents as a thanks for a year-round service.
Okay.
And churches also to distribute alms. ALMS. I don't know what that is. Alms.
Okay.
Post-Christmas sales. It's like Black Friday, but for Christmas, I guess.
I got to tell you, I think I hate Boxing Day.
Well, to me, Boxing Day, right? Like, I don't know how I feel with the origins there, but although you're given to the less fortunate, right? Like, that's kind of what it's reading like. Or am I wrong?
I'm just picturing really rich British people like handing their servants boxes with trash in them.
And that's the origin.
Well, I didn't want trash.
This. Take it.
It's been,
like, I don't know.
It says it's evolved from a charitable tradition to a mix of shopping, sports, and rest.
Well, because sports is, when I think of Boxing Day, personally, I don't think of anything that you celebrate or anything, right, like about like how it started. I only think of Boxing Day means I'm getting World Juniors and I'm getting a ton of Premier League.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
soccer.
Always,
those are my two things I'm getting.
Also a big horse racing day, apparently.
Mm. Okay.
And rugby as well. So not very...
Although,
a lot of Euro stuff.
Yeah. Now that I look at it, there is only one Premier League game today, so maybe that's not a thing. Maybe it used to, I thought it used to be that like, the whole league
Boxing
played.
Day is a that, big Premier League day.
That's what I...
I feel like that's a disservice.
Not like this just clicked in my mind. This was a story before this season. I think this might be the first time they're not doing it. Okay. And that was like a big thing. They're like, okay. Fans in England are very unhappy
it
with that.
It 100% used to be a thing.
You get Man United and Newcastle. Owens Man United against Newcastle today.
They've been so annoying this
that's
year.
Your one game. And then you get your World Juniors a little bit later on. Time for improving the game plan for this Bills and Eagles matchup, which we'll get rolling on Sunday. Improving the game plan brought to you by Bathfitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bathfitter. It just fits. When I look at these two teams, I see two highly paid quarterbacks. Both make $50-plus million per year. I think Jalen Hurts, I don't know how most fans feel about him. He's a weird quarterback to evaluate because I look at him and I look at the Eagles roster and I would say, you know what your best game plan would be? Dare that guy to play quarterback and beat you that way. Shut down their run, and they have great receivers. And when they're healthy, they have a great line. Maybe no Lane Johnson again this week. He didn't practice yesterday or the day before. So when they're all healthy, like he's got all these pieces around him. But something, it's a lot of things actually with him, right? It's he doesn't have the biggest arm. He's mobile, but he's not like fast. He's almost more physical. That's why the tush push works so well, right? Like he's more physical than anything. That if I can shut you down in the run game, that I can really constipate your offense, and when I make Jalen Hurts have to beat me, most times it's not going to go well for you. And the Eagles have had a lot of games like that this season where they just nothing looks right on offense. They'll go entire halves without, you know, doing anything through the air at all. I mean, some of their losses this year, their defense has showed up. They lose a game in Dallas where they've lost games this year where their defense has given up 22, 24, 24, 21. Like, you get to the low 20s and you have a decent shot of beating the Philadelphia Eagles. On the flip end, the Eagles have won games this year scoring 20, 10, 16. Like, they play these weird low-scoring games, and I think a lot of that is Barkley in the run game not having the same season that they did last year. More times, they need Jalen Hurts to step up and be the guy for them. And he does it once in a while. And again, the weird part about Hurts is he's done it in the Super Bowl twice. He had two great Super Bowls, including last year, where all that credit that got given to the Eagles' run game for getting them there, and maybe even those that gave it to them for winning it, probably forget that the Eagles' run game in that game matchup against the Chiefs last year did nothing. Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl had 25 carries for 57 yards. Kenneth Gainwell had 6 carries for 10 yards. They're two running backs, 31 carries for 67 yards. They could not run the ball at all in that football game. But Hurts hit on these bomb passes down the field to A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. So he's done it, and he's done it on the biggest level. But on a consistent basis, I look at the Eagles and think, yeah, they have great players all around the roster, and I feel like the quarterback is lacking a little bit in terms of the hierarchy of who are the best players on that team at their position. I mean, this is the Bill's point I wanted to make in a little bit, how Allen is kind of the opposite. Allen is a superhero that is surrounded by guys that are only pretty good. James Cook's great. Deion Dawkins is great. It's not like it's nobody, but it's a lot of players that are only pretty good, whereas Jalen Hurts, I feel like, is more of a quarterback who's only pretty good, and he is surrounded by studs at every single position. And the Eagles GM has done that with a big contract to their quarterback, by the way. So you can't use that as an excuse. It's not like he's on a rookie deal. Barkley is an all-pro level running back. A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are elite level wide receivers. When healthy, Lane Johnson might be the best right tackle in football even still. And Jordan Mailata is a very highly ranked player at left tackle. Jalen Carter on defense. And Quinyon Mitchell. And Dejean Cooper. Like, they have studs everywhere. Zach Bond was an all-pro last year at linebacker. So, kind of two different molds when I look at these two teams. Whereas the Bills, I just don't. It's very different. It's a superstar quarterback on a big contract without the elite talent around him versus a guy who's only pretty good with elite talent littered all around him. And I think your best game plan is make that guy beat you. And sometimes he will, but a lot of times he won't. And that's why I think they're having an off year this year. Off year, even though their record is, again, they kind of live this Bills life. Their expectation is so high because everybody knows their roster is loaded that when it doesn't always look perfect, you're left scratching your head going, how can that be possible? But again, they're 10-5. They're 10-5. So it's not like, you know, they're the Lions or they're the Chiefs or they're these one of these other elite teams that are going to miss. 803-0550 is the phone number. Get Sal's thoughts on this matchup when we get to him at 8 o'clock on the injury report, as well as there's a lot to get to on that front, including with Josh Allen being limited the last couple of days. 803-0550 is the phone number. It is a Buffalo Bills Football Friday here on WGR. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
on Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Second hour of the show here on a Friday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on One Bills Live, and time for NFL Film Senior Producer Greg Cosell to join us in his weekly appearance on One Bills Live, is presented by Pepsi. Pepsi is the official soft drink of the Buffalo Bills. Food deserves Pepsi. All right, Greg, holiday weekend here. We've already had three games in the books on Christmas Day. Got some others on Saturday before the Bills play Sunday afternoon in the big window game. So in this one, I think it's interesting because both offenses in this game have turned to their run game to try to find some stability on offense. Eagles have done it the last 2 weeks against the Raiders and Commanders, and Barkley has delivered for the most part in settling down their offense. And we know James Cook has been the linchpin for the Bills' offense, at least in making things right and, you know, manufacturing some stability there. Which offense do you feel stands a better chance of getting on track in light of the defenses they will be facing in this?
Well, I'll say this about the Eagles. The Eagles never had an identity issue. They just didn't execute their identity well. Mm. The Eagles have a specific template. They kind of have to play that way. It's the template that they won the Super Bowl with a year ago. They're a running football team. I mean, people might be surprised that over the last 3 weeks, Barkley has the most carries of any back in the league.
Yeah.
And the second most yards. So they're just executing what they have to be better. Their O-line really struggled for a good part of the season, and they were not able to run the ball with any kind of sustainability, or to use your word, Brownie, stability. But this is who they are. And one thing that they've done more of over the last number of weeks, and by the way, they're very good at it, and I would expect it this week, especially because of the nature of Sean McDermott and how he plays on defense, is no huddle and empty formations. I would expect to see both of those. The Eagles are very good at both no huddle and empty, and it really helps Jalen Hurts an awful lot. Look, I don't think it's a secret that the Bills at times this season have struggled to stop the run. I think there's been you would know this, the statistics probably better than I, Brownie, but I think they've had six games this year there they've given up 185 or more yards rushing, and they're 4-2 in those games, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, right.
But they are. The Eagles will look to run the football. I mean, that's the way they play. Now, they might take a few shots, outside the numbers. That's where Hurts is at his best, throwing the ball outside the numbers to Smith and Brown. But for the most part, they're a running football team. And they've gotten Hurts more involved in the run game by design over the last number of weeks as well.
And when you flip it around and stay in, the macro look at everything, the Bills offense, I don't know that it matches up real well against a defense constructed like the Eagles. I mean, certainly the Eagles have got a good defense, and they're getting Jalen Carter back, which is, I think, a huge, no pun intended, it's huge to get him back. This looks like a little bit like the Atlanta game for the Bills, and it's a bad matchup kind of thing where the front really dictates how their defense plays, and it really looks like it's going to be tough for the Bills to run their type of offense against.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out, obviously, but Jalen Carter's back. Jordan Davis has had a tremendous season. I mean, going back to last year, he started to show signs. This year, he's been absolutely tremendous. So they've got a really nice D-tackle rotation with Carter being back, with Davis, with Ajomo. N'Kobe Dean is out this week. He's kind of an important player for them. The rookie Campbell will play. Very athletic guy, but the reason Dean ended up, when he came back, taking pretty much all the snaps is because Dean is so much better at all the adjustments they make. This is a heavily adjustment-based defense, literally snap to snap, and Dean is really good at that, and Campbell, obviously being a rookie, struggles with that. Look, I think we know that the Bills will come out and try to do what they do. I think watching their run game and with what Aaron Cromer does, I think it's phenomenal. I think they're very multiple with their concepts. They'll have to be this week. It's a very good defense. The Eagles have a very, very good defense. There's no getting around it. We'll see. We'll see what the pass game is this week. Obviously, they're telling you by what they're doing at wide receiver that they're struggling. I mean, Coleman and Davis were healthy scratches. They obviously are not really strong at wide receiver. we'll see, you know, how much they play with two tight ends and see if they can get Kincaid involved and see how the Eagles choose to defend the tight ends. I mean, we saw, for instance, in the Super Bowl that the Eagles matched up Cooper DeJean on Kelce quite a bit. Will they match him up on Kincaid situationally? You know, that's something you could see.
Yeah, I know that a lot of opposing offenses have targeted Adoree Jackson, you know, when he comes on the field in the nickel. Would you anticipate the Bills trying to find that matchup as well?
He's actually their starter. You know, basically they played nickel pretty much. They may play near the highest percentage of nickel in the league. It's probably in the 75% range. Now, the question is, what will they do? Because the Bills are a heavy base personnel offense.
Yeah.
So the question, you know, the Eagles are likely to go base, I would assume. That obviously also takes DeJean away from the ball, you know, and he's a very good run defender for a nickel. So we'll see. But we know the Bills are not a heavy 11 personnel offense. They do line up a lot with really more with a fullback than they do with 12 personnel. But more 12 personnel lately, Knox has been getting a lot more snaps. I'd be real curious to see how the Eagles choose to defend it. You know, Jackson, he's been better over the last month. Early in the season, he was a liability. He's been better over the last month. The question is, you know, how are they going to attack him? The Bills are not really a throw the ball outside the numbers one-on-one matchup pass game. You know, that's not really the way they've played.
Right.
You know, they're not a matchup pass offense with their wide receivers.
Why are the Eagles so good against the pass? They're, you know, top seven in yards per game, number four in yards per attempt.
Lowest passer rating.
What's the biggest reason for that success defensively?
I think that on the back end, they're really good for a number of reasons. Number one, they've got a great corner in Mitchell. I think, you know, I watch the Eagles every week, as you guys know. I think he's a top 3-4 corner in the league. They play more man coverage than people might think, but they start out with a lot of sort of a quarters umbrella look. And what they do a lot of is they'll take that safety to the boundary side, because Mitchell's the boundary corner. He's the corner to the short side of the field. And they will let him essentially play zero man. And they'll bring Blankenship, who's their boundary safety, and they'll bring him right into the middle, and they'll squeeze the middle down. So they squeeze the middle down, and it's hard to work the middle of the field against the Eagles' pass defense, because of what Mitchell can do on the outside and what they allow him to do to essentially play zero man. And look, I think it's fair to say, without, you know, we're not talking out of school here, that there's probably not a wide receiver on the Bills that the Eagles would not feel comfortable with Mitchell matching up zero man against.
And that also plays into the fact the Bills, their passing game kind of funnels through the tight ends running back, which kind of speak to the middle of the field. I mean, that seems like a rock and a hard place.
So, you know, to me, and this is, you know, and because I watch so many teams, as you guys know, and I get so focused on route concepts and combinations and how coaches put all that together, in some ways, to me, this becomes very much a Joe Brady game. Because everything I just said, this is not something that I just know. If I know it, everybody knows it, Steve, quite frankly. I mean, I'm just one guy sitting watching tape. Coaching staffs know all this. So now Joe Brady knows this. He knows more than I do. So right now, you know, he's figuring out how he can attack this defense with the pass. Because more than likely, look, James Cook's had a phenomenal year. You could argue he should be in the MVP conversation. But looking at this defense and the way they've played all year, I'd be surprised if the Bills are going to run for 180 yards. I mean, that would surprise me. If they do, more power to them, and it'd be wonderful for them. But I would think they're going to have to throw the ball somewhere along the line in this game and have sustaining success. It's not a matter of Josh Allen throwing for 350. That doesn't happen against the Eagles' defense. But you're going to have some kind of sustaining success throwing the football.
Do you see any way that with Campbell in the lineup for them defensively that Bond would get the green dot for any reason? Or do you think they just trust Campbell and say, make the best of it?
No, they don't trust Campbell like that, I don't think. Again, I don't want to speak for Vic Fangio, but I would not think that Campbell would get the green dot.
So it's probably Bond.
That's one of the things he struggled with. So I think it would be Bond.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious as to how those logistics might work. And then what do you make of, I mean, because it looks like the weather's going to be awful here on Sunday. Sleet changing to rain.
Awful.
Rain, a lot of rain, which is just like it was 2 years ago when these two teams played in Philadelphia in a driving rainstorm. That was on grass. This will be on turf. So hopefully footing is a little bit better. My question is about Goddard because, you know, 10 touchdowns is hard to ignore. He leads or is tied for the league lead amongst all tight ends with 10 receiving touchdowns. Have all of those taken place in the red zone, or has he making some hay? Has he made some hay between the 20s as well, as far as their passing game goes?
The large number, I don't know if, and I would bet 7, 8. I can think of one that was not the red zone, but I would say that a high, high percentage have been red zone design specific plays. You know, not, so he's a very good player. I've always really thought Dallas Goedert was an excellent tight end. But those are schemed plays, Brownie, schemed red zone plays that have been very effective. I mean, that's what teams do in the red zone. A lot of teams, you scheme up specific plays. And he's been the recipient of those plays.
Yeah, they're number one in red zone efficiency. I mean, they're good when they get down there. And, you know, the obvious question, how much of that is the tush push that gives them, you know,
a good amount.
Yeah, a goal line kind of running play. But like you say, it's not just that.
No, but I will say this. One thing about the Eagles, and if they get back to where they were, which they're starting to incrementally, back to where they were a year ago, they are a four-down offense. You have to be really careful about how you play them on third down. Because when it's third and eight, that's not automatic pass for the Eagles. Because if they run the ball, let's say when they get to the minus 45 and pass that, certainly into plus territory, Steve. If it's fourth and three or less, they're going for it. So that changes the way they play third down and the way you have to defend third down. So, for instance, a lot of zone teams, you know how it is. They rally up and tackle, and it's fourth and two, and 99% of the teams in the league punt. The Eagles don't punt. They go for it on fourth down, and that's a big deal within the context of their offense.
Last one I got for you, Greg. A.J. Brown obviously has been heavily targeted the last few weeks. You know, ever since, I don't know how I would describe it, a little disconnect, shall we say, between the quarterback and the receiver, you know, in the middle part of the season, that seems to have righted itself. Do you think all is well in Eagle passing game land?
Well, I think over the last number of weeks, they've done a much better job with their pass game concepts. I can't speak to why they didn't do this earlier in the year. That's a why question. You'd have to be in their building to know that. But over the last number of weeks, they've really expanded their pass game concepts. As I said, I think the no huddle and the empty formations have helped as well. You know that no huddle, you know, one reason I mentioned the no huddle and the empty versus Sean is because I think Sean's one of the absolute best in the league at changing the picture pre-snap to post-snap. And if you go no huddle and empty, you limit the ability of the defense to do that. And of course, this is something that the Bills and Sean know, so they'll have in their mind an answer for it, but it's different than if a team huddles up and comes to the line of scrimmage and you as a defense have a chance then to call out adjustments and communicate. So I think you will see that in this game, and I'll be curious to see how the Bills react.
Last one for me, Greg. So they're coming off a two-game winning streak, but they beat the Raiders and Commanders. 3 weeks before that, they were on a three-game losing streak. They lost to the Cowboys, they lost to the Bears, and they lost to the Chargers. Now, the Bears and the Chargers are in the playoff mix, no question. The Cowboys are not, although they have a great offense. What was the biggest reason why the Eagles went into a three-game swoon there, if there is a generalization you can make?
Well, I think offensively they struggled most of the year. I think it's been a tough go offensively. You know, obviously being in the Philadelphia area, you know what sports talk radio is like. Everybody's, you know, went from being a genius a year ago when they won a Super Bowl to being an idiot. You know how that works. But it was mostly offense-based. They could not run the football, Steve, and they were a running team. I mean, Barkley's rushing numbers through the first, I don't know, 9-10 weeks of the season were really poor. They could not run the ball, and that's who they are. That's who they have to be. And they've done a much better job of that lately. So, you know, I think that that's really helped. And again, as I said, the no huddle and the empty have really opened up their pass game much more so. In an ideal world, this is not a team that wants to have Jalen Hurts drop back 35 or 40 times. They would love it to be where he drops back 25 to 28 times a game, and they control the tempo and flow of the game running the football, and then their defense holds down the other team, and then they pull away late because then they wear you out.
Greg, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Thanks, always Greg. Love it. Take care.
That's you Greg bet. Cosell, senior producer from NFL Films, joining us. And we remind you, Bills Mafia, it's tailgating season. And there's nothing better than Pepsi Zero Sugar to pair with your favorite tailgating food rituals before the game. As the great Josh Allen once said, Bills fans deserve Pepsi. Make sure that you stock up for game day. Go Bills. Steve and I will take a break here. We'll crack open the OBL Friday fan mailbag on the tweet sheet side of things when we get back. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. Motion right to left from Shakir. Hand off to Johnson, and he races into the end zone for an easy 2-yard touchdown run.
Bills and Eagles on Sunday. It's a football Friday here on WGR. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas yesterday. Got everything you wanted. Chris Brown with us now on the Wester Hotline. Chris, favorite gift that you got yesterday? What'd you get?
Got a new coffee machine, so pretty happy about that.
Nice.
My old one was kind of petering out, so very timely gift for sure.
Well, good. This game, Chris, on Sunday between the Bills and the Eagles, we'll see. It could be a rainy affair. How do you look at these two teams and how they match up? Do you think it could be one of those games that it's two great teams, defending Super Bowl champion, Bills have the longest playoff streak now in the league, but both teams tend to play these slower, lower scoring games, and maybe that's what we get Sunday?
Yeah, I'm fully expecting both teams to try to come out and establish their run game, so I think early on it could look like a rock fight with just teams trying to mash at the line of scrimmage against one another. And I think we know the caliber of Buffalo's offensive line and the caliber of the Eagles' defensive line. And I don't know that the Eagles' offensive line is as strong as it was last year, but it's still probably a top five line in the league. So how does Buffalo's defensive front hold up to that? I think that'll be a big determining factor there in the early going.
Yeah, and without them having Lane Johnson, that's obviously a big critical part of that too. And he has not practiced this week. We'll see if that changes at all today. But if they don't have him, that's obviously a big difference. The Bills' offense, Chris, against this Eagles' defense, how do you expect, if there's any limiting of Josh Allen, that would look? Would you think, you know, running the ball with him specifically, long developing plays, and maybe there's a lot more of a quick game today, or on Sunday, do you think they'll change anything on that front?
Yeah, I really am interested to see what Coach McDermott says today, you know, about Josh, because every time you ask Josh about, you know, an ailment or some little nick that he's got, he downplays it, says he'll be fine. But if his mobility is compromised, that does shrink the playbook to some degree. Like, can he do bootlegs? Can he do rollouts? Are you avoiding those? Is, you know, design runs, as you said, off the table now? So I'm curious to hear what Coach has to say today, number one. And then number two, you know, in the game, what are we seeing Josh do and not do? Because I think it was pretty evident once that foot injury happened, they didn't really put him out on the move very much in the second half of that football game.
Right. Yeah, and we'll see what Sean McDermott says today when he's on the Extra Point Show. He'll do his media availability after that as well. The injury report in totality, Chris, they're starting to pile up, at least for this week. We'll see about Kincaid and Knox. That's kind of a tough one, too. Like, if both were unavailable, I don't know what their passing offense looks like, whatever, you know, volume they would throw the ball. I mean, those two have been critical parts this year. And if you're just going in with Jackson Hawes and then someone from the practice squad. Like, that's a pretty big loss, depending on, again, their availability.
Right. I tend to believe that the Kincaid thing is something we're going to see every week going forward. I think he's going to miss either 1 or 2 days of practice every week the rest of the way here as part of their injury management with him. It's pretty clear this is going to be a knee injury that's going to require attention in the off season. So they're just managing it now. And I would anticipate, you know, he's going to be on the injury report every week for the rest of the season and probably miss a day or two of practice because, as Coach McDermott said last week, the ultimate goal is to have him as fresh as possible for the game. So I think we have to take that into account with regard to Kincaid's listing. You're right, though. Knox is a new addition. So we'll have to see where that goes today. And you're right. Like, they've really leaned in to the tight ends and backs in their passing game because their receivers have been inconsistent. And I think I'm being kind with that description. There just hasn't been enough production from the receiving core outside of Shakir on a consistent basis. And I think they've turned to other areas to find that consistency, namely their tight ends and their backs. And, you know, if you're missing those guys in numbers, that's a problem.
Yeah. Is there any one of those receivers right now, Chris? I mean, really, it's the group as a whole, but is there any one guy that you feel like is most likely to become someone that Allen trusts down the stretch here?
Well, I think we know that Josh already trusts Gabe Davis. And so I think in light of what you have not gotten from your receiving core the last 2 weeks, I would be surprised if he is not reinserted into the lineup because there's a history there. There's production there in big games. And I don't know that you can really say that about anyone else in that receiving core. I'm talking receivers only, besides Shakir, who has come up big for Josh, as we know, even in playoff games. So outside of those two, you know, there just isn't enough of a track record of consistent production. It just seems like the offensive staff is spinning the dial every week, trying to find a combination that's going to click in the passing game for the Bills, and they still haven't found it yet, which is a little disconcerting in Week 17.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, the Bills, we know their history this season at run defense. The Eagles are not the same rush attack they were last year, though. So I guess how concerned are you and do you think Bills fans should be about that specific matchup for Sunday?
I think they should be concerned. It's the reigning offensive player of the year in Saquon Barkley. And yes, you know, the run game for the Eagles has found traction the last 2 weeks against the Raiders and Commanders, who are not good run defenses, but I think we all know the Bills don't rank very highly in that area either. So I anticipate the Eagles are going to try to test that. I mean, any good offensive coordinator would, just by looking at their ranking against the run. So I think they're going to challenge them with Saquon, and you better be ready to wrap up or at least hang on to one of those 32-inch quads, you know, that Saquon has until help arrives. Because he is still very elusive, very powerful, and very fast, which is what makes him so gifted as a runner. And you really have to keep those gains under 10 yards. You cannot give him explosives or it's going to be a long afternoon.
Yeah. How does the idea of a game plan sound to you of you sell out to stop their run at all costs and you dare Jalen Hurts to beat you through the air? Does that sound like a game plan that you think could get them killed, or do you feel like that's the right way to approach it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem here, Joe, right? Because you can dedicate assets to stopping Barkley and trust the guys on the back end, who I will say, like, coverage-wise, you know, they've really kind of stepped up their game on the back end, I feel the Bills have, in the coverage area. But Poyer is a question mark. And he's kind of been instrumental in getting people lined up pre-snap. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And then the lack of a consistent pass rush by just rushing four compromises that plan, because, you know, if it is an obvious passing down, yes, you're still mindful of Barkley on a screen, which is an area they got victimized last week. So I just think there's a lot of bases to cover with this Eagles offense. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned Dallas Goedert, who is tied for the league lead among tight ends with 10 touchdowns. So to me, it's more than just an A.J. Brown problem in the passing game. And when you have to dedicate extra assets to your pass rush, you kind of leave yourself, you know, in one-on-one situations on the back end with some pretty elite talent.
Yep. Yep. Smith, too, of course, on the offense as well. Sunday, Bills and Eagles, second-to-last home game. Chris, thanks again for jumping on, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. One Bills Live a little bit later on. Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show today here on a Football Friday. The Bills a slight favorite over Philadelphia. We'll take a look at some of more of their games when we come back, especially some of these gross, low-scoring games that we've mentioned that Philly plays this year. So they've done that against some good teams. That, when we come back, your phone calls. We got open hour coming up at 9 o'clock if you got a thought on the game or the AFC playoff field, as Denver doesn't look impressive at all. And that could be a team the Bills see down the road. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
What am I supposed to be watching right now? Yes, I know, I'm working. Michael, you're not supposed to be watching TV while you're working. What am I supposed to have on in this room right now? Me, there are way too many bowl games and they're stupid and meaningless. Also me, we're not late enough in the year where there'd be a bowl game on Christmas Eve at like the middle of the day. Like we're just, no. Is that how, is that cool, that little manner of speaking I just did? When I said me and then also me? No. What if I throw a 6-7 in? Does that help? No. See, I'm 54. And if it did happen that whatever way I was talking was like with the times, trendy, then I'm still an idiot. Because why at my age would I want to sound like that? I mean, really, the only zone for me is like the dad joke zone. I just got to own that. I got to start starting tweets with capital letters and using periods and just, hey, I'm not trying to make like I'm 30 or something, because I'm never going to be 30. I could use a bowl game right now. I'm watching something about Scotty Scheffler. I'm watching old golf. It's that or Mets yearbook. I'm going to go ahead and pass on Mets yearbook. So excited to have Dave Tripoli on the West Shore Hotline. I know Dave through the FFPC for fantasy players, especially serious ones who have been running hot this year. This is a huge week in the tournaments. Dave, I'm hoping you're one of those people right now.
We got some chances at some big money. The big payback and another 5K league. We're leading the pack going into the final week. So very, very exciting time for that. Hopefully everything runs good for this final week. It's going to be an interesting week with a lot of injuries.
Do you think there's more of that this year? Or does it just always seem like that when you get to week 17? All these quarterback injuries. Brock Bowers goes away today. Rashi Rice, for what it's worth, also. Is it normal that we get to Christmas Eve and just be like, oh, it's a mess? Or is it maybe worse this year?
I think this year it's a little bit worse than other years. If it seems like teams are maybe getting a little smarter, and if guys are like kind of questionable, they're just like, all right, sit this guy out. Rashi Rice being an example. You know, he's probably clearing a concussion protocol, but to be honest with you, Mike, I don't even know who's throwing the ball to him this week, so why would he not be out there playing? He's clearly their best receiver, probably their best offensive player by a good margin. Why would he need to be out there for the next 2 weeks? So why not just put him on IR, you know, protect yourself and keep it going, because why are you going to put him out there and risk something serious?
Right, and there's also the draft pick incentive. I'm not sure it applies to a team with as many wins as the Chiefs have at 6, but what is like last year, Dave, is there are so many bad teams. One of my favorite receivers in the league is Garrett Wilson. And because Garrett Wilson, sort of a version of Justin Jefferson in how, as bad as their quarterbacks were, he would still put up 1,000 yards and like spectacular catches. But man, all year you knew you were just sort of right on the wire with Fields and even Tyrod Taylor. They're going nowhere, and it's Thanksgiving, you just know that it's over. You're not getting Garrett Wilson back.
The scary part about Garrett Wilson is week one, you thought you literally were gold.
Yeah.
They had that big first week, him and Justin Fields. Obviously, everybody was talking about him. And then disaster all over the rest of the season. I mean, he's probably been able to come back, I guess. But why on earth would Garrett Wilson want to come back on that dreck of a franchise? So from that perspective, like, you know, you see picks like that with Garrett Wilson. Were they bad picks? I don't personally think so, because like you said, Garrett Wilson's a great talent. In my opinion, one of the best receivers in football. He just has a terrible draw in New York and with the quarterback position.
We'll get to the Eagles, of course, but how do you look at the Raiders season, which is at least as bad, with Genty and Bowers, you know, mostly out there. Now Bowers is going to miss the last two games. Were those picks that were defensible at the time, or did we fall for something?
I think with Bowers, you might have fell for a little bit of something early on. Genty, I don't think, is a bad pick. I mean, I just expected Pete Carroll to, like, have a half a brain and actually use him a lot more, using the passing game, which you're seeing a little bit more lately. Early in the season, it was like he wasn't getting as many carries as – I mean, if you're drafting a guy that high in the draft, he should be getting 20-plus carries every game. If not, why are you taking him? It makes no sense, because everybody knows running back's shelf life is extremely small. So somebody like Genty, you're spending that capital on him. You know, you're building up the team around him. You know, early in the season, he really didn't get the work that he was supposed to. So you're starting to see a little bit of Ashton Genty, really, the talent that, you know, everybody saw. It just is a shame that he's on such a very, very, very suspect franchise with no quarterback, no quarterback plan, no coaching, you know, system right now. You know, Chip Kelly fired. Pete Carroll should be fired. You know, outside of Max Crosby, Brock Bowers, and Ashton Dempsey, there's not a lot on that team to be excited about.
With Dave Tripoli, maybe we'll get to some more fantasy angles here before our time is done here, Dave. But let's talk about your Philadelphia Eagles. What has it felt like from the inside, so to speak, with the Eagles this year? There's always this all this noise, but there's been that in years like last year where they won it all and everybody shook hands and said that's the best team in the league, no question. How is this year different, if at all?
Different, man, that's a tough word. I think like, it's something like butterflies in your stomach. Early in the season, didn't really look great. You know, a couple years ago, it was the same situation. They won a lot of games early and then disaster struck, you know, and they, you know, backed their way into the playoffs and got bounced early by Tampa Bay. I think this team's a little different. Obviously, the talent's there. We all know about the talent. Offensively, they have looked good recently, starting to really get Barkley the ball, starting to run the ball a little bit better, utilize him more. It looks like he's a little refreshed. He started the season off maybe a little suspect, but the offensive line just hasn't been great this year, and that's the strength of the team. So with Brown, with Goddard, with Devonta Smith, obviously Hurts. If the offensive coordinator continues to adapt, which it looks like he's doing a little bit, and I've been very outspoken to get rid of him midseason, day one when they that Cowboys disaster early in the season, and in the later season when they blew that 21-0 lead, everybody in Philly wants him gone. Last couple games, he's been better. The only question with him is, was it just against bad teams?
Yep.
You know, obviously the Raiders and the Commanders. You're going to see what the offensive system is made of if it's really improving this week in Buffalo, because going to Buffalo, you know, not an easy place to play. Buffalo still has a lot to play for. The Eagles don't have that much to play for. It would take something, you know, catastrophic with the Bears for them to move up a seed. So from that perspective, I think the Eagles are continue to progress as the season goes on. It looks like A.J. Brown's happy. Devonta Smith's happy. Barkley's happy. Hurts looks like he's smiling more. You're seeing these Christmas pictures come out and these after-game pictures. There's a lot of positive vibes in Philly right now because – and that three-game losing streak, there was a lot of ugly things being said on sports radio.
And I know you would know that, which I like about you, Dave. So I complained when the schedule came out that this game is so late, feeling like they might have wasted Philadelphia-Buffalo. Now, there are lots of great matchups, and I think I was right. Here, you talk about where the Eagles are. I'm not sure how important it is to them to move up to two if they even can do it. And the Bills are kind of locked in, almost locked in as a wild card. As you may know, they need the Patriots to lose another game versus either the Jets or the Dolphins, right? So they're looking at a wild card probably here. There are higher stakes out there, maybe not this week. Well, there probably are. But this could have been a much bigger game like in November.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. 1,000 You see the schedule come out sometimes and you just look at some of these matchups and you're like, why not put Eagles, Buffalo, you know, Sunday Night Football, Week 5? Like, really pretty good weather, chance of a shootout, all this stuff that could happen. You know, put in the second to last game of the year, it doesn't really make sense for either, you know, team, you know, trying to, you know, do better in their conference, obviously. So from that perspective, obviously, you know, we'll talk about the matchup, but, you know, we're talking about two of the best quarterbacks in football, obviously Josh Allen being Superman, and you should think you get this matchup in a better spot than weeks, you know, 17, 18. I don't even know what the numbers are these days with the extra week. But it's kind of a meaningless game, like you said. Like we need the Patriots to lose to the Jets for the Bills to matter.
Yeah,
so,
good luck with
Josh
that.
Josh Allen probably not playing next week. Jalen Hurts probably not playing this week, next week. You know, it's going to be questionable. Like, is both teams going to put the most effort in? Is it going to be the game that most people would want?
Right. You know, interesting how, Dave, the two conferences, kind of the overall picture, AFC and NFC, is so similar. And you mentioned the two-seed possibility for the Eagles, and we're talking about this game like it's almost meaningless, but it's not quite that. It isn't at all if you think there's a big difference between these seedings, like the range you're in. I don't know, when you look at...
I think there is, because, I mean, if you're looking at who would I rather play, the Rams or the 49ers, it's the 49ers, and it's really not even close. I personally think the Rams are the best team in the NFC.
Okay.
I know they just lost to Seattle, but we're not going to talk about Sam Darnold and worry about that. Seattle's not going anywhere in the playoffs, so they're not a team I'm really worried about. But the Rams, obviously, if Devontae Adams comes back and he's healthy, the hamstring is obviously a big question. To me, the Rams are the biggest test for the Eagles, and there could be a week, you know, first week wild card matchup of Philadelphia versus, you know, the Rams, and you're not going to ask for a bigger matchup, you know, in a wild card weekend. So do I really want to open up against the Rams? Not really, but, you know, it is what it is if it happens. But the 49ers, we saw on Monday night, really good offense, awful defense. Phillip Rivers made, you know, you would have thought it was Phillip Rivers of 10, 15 years ago, just slicing them up. So from that perspective, I'd rather play the 49ers. I don't really worry about Kyle Shanahan. I mean, their offense is very solid. Obviously, Kittle just got a little banged up on Monday, but he should be fine for the playoffs. But from my perspective, you know, I would rather play the 49ers. But that's probably – it's going to be one of those two teams. You know, we'll see where it falls.
It could be Seattle still, no?
Like, not likely. Not likely.
Well, San Francisco wins two, 13-4. That's the one seed if they do that. Their last game is against Seattle. Then you have Seattle. They could lose to Carolina. Probably don't. 13-4.
If you're telling me that I got a chance with Sam Darnold in Philadelphia, give me all those chances.
Philadelphia and Seattle have met plenty of times. They sort of they get Seattle, together this time of year.
And Seattle owns us most of the time. But we're talking about Sam Darnold here. And I've been outspoken since day one on Sam Darnold, and I know he's had a great season. But recently you're starting to see some of the cracks in Sam Darnold. I know he let him back last week and all that jazz. But I remember Sam Darnold in the playoffs last year. And I'm not worried about Sam Darnold coming to Philadelphia with the lunatics, including myself, who will be in attendance. That'll be tailgating from 12 hours before. I'm not worried about Sam. I'm not really worried about any team coming to Philadelphia in the playoffs, to be honest with you.
You ever been here for a game?
I have never been to Buffalo. It's a place that I definitely want to get to.
It's our last 2 weeks of the stadium unless playoffs fall into place. So this is, you know, emotional times, I think, for fans, not only with the pressure on this year, but with the future in mind. Dave Tripoli, my guest. I know Dave through the FFPC. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off through New Year's here on WGR. So you slipped in when you brought up Jalen Hurts' name earlier, one of the best quarterbacks in the league with Allen. What's your take on Hurts, A, just how you feel about him at this stage of his career, what he's accomplished, and just who he is as a player? And then, B, any kind of misperception you think is rampant about him?
To be honest with you, I was never really a big Jalen Hurts guy early on. I was not a fan. I didn't like, you know, what I saw early in his career. But right before the Super Bowl year, I pledged my allegiance. I know I have a lot of group chats with a lot of friends who are listening right now. And I made sure before the season started, I pledged my allegiance to Jalen Hurts. And he led him to a Super Bowl that year. Obviously fell short with that weak call against Kansas City at the end. Who knows what could have happened then. But Jalen Hurts this year has been okay. I'm not going to sit here and say he's been good or great or any of that stuff. He's definitely played better lately. Could it be him? Could it be the offensive coordinator? I always watch tape of most of the Eagles games after the game's over. You know, a couple days down the road after it settles in. He's missed a lot of throws. But at the end of the day, one thing you can say about Jalen Hurts is he will always put you in a position to win. And that's just what it is. He's a winner. And you saw that last year with, you know, obviously a very, very good team around him. Let's not sugarcoat it. He didn't do it all himself. But in the Super Bowl, they stopped Barkley. Hurts had to win that game, and he did. Most people didn't think he could because it was all Barkley all year. Yeah, Hurts had his moments, but a lot of it was either tush-push Barkley having that career year, the O-line, obviously defense making plays, receivers mixing in. But Hurts showed in the Super Bowl that he can do it all. So from that perspective, I mean, I'm very excited to see what the next couple, you know, games are going to look like for him before the playoffs. Hopefully he continues to show what he's been showing over the last couple weeks. You know, obviously I know it's been the Raiders and the Commanders and all that stuff, but Hurts is really, you know, seems like he's getting through his progressions more. He's getting Goddard involved more. You know, Devonta Smith, obviously, Barkley, you know, being more of a dominant force in the running game. So I'm very excited to see what happens next with Hurts. Again, I would never put him in the category as Josh Allen as a talent. I'm a big Josh Allen fan. Very, very high on Josh Allen. To me, he's, you know, the best quarterback in football. But Josh Allen is running out of excuses team-wise. He's the leader of the team. You probably agree with me. This year, more than any other year, I know they're not going to have a home game. Nobody's probably going to come to Buffalo. And, you know, that would be a, you know, pretty big advantage. But Josh Allen, he has his Robin right now with James Cook. The receiving core, not the best. But the AFC is not strong. I've been very outspoken about the AFC. Buffalo Bills, in my opinion, are the strongest team in the AFC. Even though they're going to lose this week, it doesn't matter. they're still, in my opinion, the strongest team in the AFC. Who in the AFC scares you? I'll ask you that. What team would you be worried about?
I think anybody but the Steelers or the Chargers, probably. I don't have any. I wouldn't be, you know, scared of having to go to L.A. if it ends up that they beat Denver and kind of get to the top of the division. That's still a possibility. But Houston's defense wrecked the Bills. Jacksonville looks like it can kind of do it all right now. And they've been a tough team for the Bills over the years, if that matters. You don't have to go back forever, but still there's that. And New England looks great, Dave. I don't know. Like, even Sunday night, yes, Jackson leaves the game. That's a great win to come back like that. And May is still doing it all on the field, and they've beaten the Bills once and almost twice. So I don't think – I think I'd just as soon be afraid of the Bills if I were those teams than the other way around. I don't know what to do with Denver. I just think going there with that defense can be problematic, but I'd put them lower on this list than the others.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I've been – you know, when it comes to Drake May, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. I don't trust the coaching staff when it matters in a big spot in the playoffs. Mike Vrabel has always come up lame when he's had Tennessee teams that obviously I know Ryan Tannehill was a quarterback and all that stuff, but they've had spot after spot and never really delivered. So my questions come there. Their defense is banged up. When it comes to the AFC, I like Jacksonville. Jacksonville is probably my favorite, not named Buffalo. They're just really hitting form right now. Trevor Lawrence seems like he's figuring it out a little bit. But Denver, I don't trust Bo Nix. He's going to throw it to you. If you catch it, you know, it could change the game. I mean, he's going to give you plenty of opportunities with mistakes that he make. And, you know, Sean Payton, obviously he's a, you know, battle tested coach, but I think Buffalo goes in there if that's where the line draws and they beat Denver. And to me, they're never going to get a better opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
No Mahomes, no Burrow. No Lamar, like, really no excuses, even though they got to go on the road. Like, Josh Allen, if the O-line protects him, I agree with what you're saying with the Texans. That defense is no joke. That defense could win them a Super Bowl. At the end of the day, they're just a bunch of dogs, all of them. They beat the piss out of everybody.
And that's a compliment now. It didn't used to be a dog, but now that's a compliment.
That defense is one of the best defenses I've seen in a really long time. They attack. We obviously saw what happened with Josh Allen when they played. But at the end of the day, I trust Josh Allen. I don't know why this year. I think it's different. I just think this Super Bowl matchup we're going to have this year is the same matchup we have coming up this week.
Right.
Eagles against the Bills. And then we all know the two crazy fan bases, it's going to be an absolute just war. And
we'll
it's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll all just flood San Francisco.
I mean, it's going to be an absolute just – Buffalo has been waiting for this their whole life. If that matchup does happen, unfortunately, they're going to have to wait a little longer because, you know, back-to-back champs are coming. But other than that, you know, I root for the Bills. I have nothing really negative ever to say about the Bills except the Josh Allen. He's got to get there. It's got to be time. I know a lot of our friends who are Buffalo fans are very outspoken about everybody else and not Allen. I think you and I know who we're talking about here. But Josh Allen needs to get it done this year. There's no excuses this year.
Dave, before you go, one quick thing, if not maybe two. How great is this? Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, you were talking about Hurts. I wanted to slip in how durable both of these guys have been, especially for how physical they are. Two guys, both under 30, 157 combined rushing touchdowns, including playoffs.
Insane. If you really think about it, insane with the tush push, like getting hit. All people can say whatever they want about the play. I personally don't love the play, but at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts gets nailed every single time. He's getting O-linemen falling on him, D-line falling on him, corners trying to take swipes at him. Same thing with Josh Allen. They're running something similar. He's getting hit, and he's more of a rushing threat than Hurts is right now. And we're not talking about just like, you know, obviously last week he got banged up a little bit. There were some questions, you know, was he going to be ready? You know, he came back. Josh Allen just is a warrior. He just doesn't miss games.
84 rushing touchdowns for Allen, including playoffs. 73 for Hurts.
Absolutely insane.
It is. I have to bring this last thing up before you go because it still haunts me a year and a half ago. Like, who's the pass catcher for the Bills? And I don't know. I'm just rifling off.
Nobody.
I said everybody because I didn't think there was really an answer. It's still true. This is like it's two full true. Seasons it's later, and there was no answer.
No answer. We try to throw out MVS and Elijah Moore and Keon Coleman, and we can keep going down the list. Every year we're going to ask the same question. And since Diggs has been gone there, there really hasn't been an answer. So I don't know if there's ever going to be an answer, but if Josh Allen does and the Bills don't get it done this year, they might have to figure that out in the offseason because they're, you know, Josh Allen's still young enough to where they have a chance, you know, in a AFC who's obviously stacked with a lot of, you know, talented quarterbacks, but, you know, Kansas City, Lamar, they're going to be back next year. Burrow, they're going to be back next year. So it's not going to get any easier. So they're going to have to figure that out and get somebody reliable because Josh Palmer is not getting it done.
Your Super Bowl,
I like Josh Palmer, but he's not getting it done.
Your Super Bowl 60 MVP, Brandon Cooks, saying it now. On that note, Dave, Merry Christmas. Thanks for your time today and can't wait for Sunday.
Always a pleasure. Go Birds.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Tripoli. You can check out Dave on FFPC podcasts. I know him through fantasy, and he obviously makes no secret of his rooting allegiances, which is great. Why make a secret out of it? Why not just say it? If that's how you feel, just say it. And good for you. He got us back to the conversation we all want to have all the time, and just whether the Bills have good enough receivers to win. What a pro. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you. Lines are open next. Sal will join me at 5. This is WGR.
I'm going to go Josh Allen. And here's the deal. Like, Josh Allen to me is Superman, right? Like, he does significantly more with less. If you look at his receiving core versus what Jalen Hurts has, you would say advantage there, right? And so when I look at Josh Allen, he has put this team on his back a number of times. They have literally one of the worst, if not the worst, run defense in the NFL. And for him to be carrying this team into the playoffs, and literally, y'all, when you look at the AFC, they have a real shot. If their defense can just Band-Aid it, they got a shot. And why? Because of Josh Allen.
Okay, so that's Jeff Saturday there. I don't disagree with a lot of what he said. I think, though, that there's this – let's be fair and honest here, right? We did this last year when it was Josh against Lamar for the MVP, and so many Bills fans said, well, wait a minute, Lamar's got Derrick Henry with him. Folks, Josh doesn't have just nothing with him, right? He does. I agree with what he's saying there about look at the receiving core. We all know that the Bills have a challenged wide receiver group, right? Especially on the outside. He also has the league leading rusher with him. So it's not like he's void of talent around him. He has that. So I think it's a nuanced conversation here because you're talking about what Josh needs to do compared to other players when he says he's got to do more. He's got to do more with less. That is true at the wide receiver spot. He also has more at the running back spot than most have. But you're not asking Josh Allen to run you're asking him to run the ball, but he's handing the ball off to James Cook. When it comes time, though, to pass, then you're certainly asking him to do more than you are most other quarterbacks in the league who have more at their disposal to throw to. That's where the nuanced conversation comes in. That's a debate, I believe. They were talking, Jeff Saturday, about Hurts and Allen, right, and who you'd rather have. And, I mean, I don't know. Would anybody really – is somebody going to take Jalen Hurts over Josh Allen? I don't think so. That's no disrespect to Jalen Hurts. He's been tremendous. But I couldn't see it. I mean, Josh Allen is just such a unique unicorn that – the things that he can do compared to everybody else at his size especially. And his availability, too, is a big thing. And this week we're monitoring that availability. It shouldn't be an issue for him to play on Sunday from everything we're told by Sean McDermott, by Josh Allen himself. But we're going to hear from the Bills head coach here, hopefully during this half hour, sometime soon and shortly. So keep it right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On a Buffalo Football Friday, Sal Capaccio with you here. It's a holiday football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Talked with Paul Hamilton last half hour. In case you missed that, check it out on demand at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. Sabres home tomorrow night. to the Boston Bruins. We'll have pregame for you at 6. The puck drops at 7 downtown. And, of course, all day long on Sunday, Bills-Eagles on WGR and the Bills Radio Network. And, of course, that's a 4:25 p.m. kick. Now, before we get to that 4:25 p.m. kick, you're going to have a game with the Patriots and Jets that I don't think many people are expecting to turn out other than the Patriots winning. But it is still a game to pay attention to because it's the NFL and you never know. And the 3-12 Jets at home under a guy like Aaron Glenn with their final home game of the year are going to want to play spoiler. They're going to do anything they can to try and beat the Patriots. I don't know if they can. I don't think they can. They don't have enough, but all it takes is a break here, a break there. A big run, an interception, whatever. That's what it takes. So I know you'll be dialed into that at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Did I hear right? That's a Fox game? Patriots-Jets is a Fox game, I heard. Is that right? I think I heard that from Joe this morning. Think about that. That means, I mean, it's weird, right? I know networks have different games now and they cross over the conferences. Patriots-Jets on Fox. Bills-Dolphins was on Fox, I think, like this last year or this year, whatever. But Patriots-Jets on Fox. Bills-Eagles on Fox. Like three of the AFC East teams are on Fox, and you're going to get that at 1 o'clock, and then you're going to get the Bills. But, of course, we're going to be on the radio call, so Chris Brown, Eric Wood, and myself here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, 4:25 p.m. kick. You're going to know the result of that Patriots-Jets game. And I guess we just think about if it were to happen, right? If it were to happen, what the atmosphere would be like inside Highmark Stadium leading up to that game. Pretty amazing. We'll get a weather check on that, by the way, after Sean McDermott joins us as well. From our guy, Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Tony is in West Seneca next, though. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. I'm your Highmark Stadium historian here.
All right.
Just wanted to say that next week we play the Jets. That was the first game the Bills ever played at Rich Stadium. And the second game tomorrow was against the Eagles. And I remember the game against the Eagles. We won 27-26. Amazing game. O.J. Simpson against Roman Gabriel. Tom Dempsey was kicking for the Eagles. And, man, he missed a chip shot at the end of that game. I still can remember it. 27-26, the Bills won.
You have a great memory. I'm looking at it right now. That was October 7th, 1973. You're right. It was the second game. Dempsey a 51-yarder, Dempsey a 22-yarder, Dempsey a 14-yarder, Dempsey a 19-yarder, and then you're saying he missed one after that, huh?
He missed one. It was so short, I can't even tell you. It couldn't have been more than 20 yards, but it was at the other end of the field, and I couldn't see it. And when he missed it, my dad and I just looked at each other like, oh, my God,
what's crazy, think about this now for a minute, Tony, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as you know, the goalpost used to be at the goal line, not in the back of the end zone, right? So in this game, Tom Dempsey kicked a 14-yard field goal. That's impossible now. You can't even do that.
You're right. And it was just so funny because, you know, here's Dempsey with the record for the longest field goal ever. And, you know, Roman Gabriel being there was amazing. It was an amazing game. And they've had other amazing games with Philly, too, like the time Randall Cunningham was here in the 90s. So
we talked about that one. And do you know, I'm going to give you another thing about this game. I'm looking at the box score, the one you're talking about, the first year ever at this current stadium. In this game, the Bills win with Joe Ferguson going 6-for-9 for 63 yards.
Yeah, that was back then. It was O.J. left, O.J. right, O.J. up the middle. That's all they did.
That's all you needed to do, 171 yards on the day. Really good memories,
before,
yeah.
When they won the opener, it was 9-7. I mean, all we had was three field goals.
Well, that's the way that's what they had to do to win back then. So thanks a lot.
We'll take it any way we can. Hey, have a happy new year.
You too, Tony. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Seth. Bye.
You got it, yeah. Oh, my God, laughing, kind of looking at the box score, like, oh, my God, 6-9 for less than 70 yards passing, and they won the game, right? That's like that Derek Anderson game with Cleveland when he came to Buffalo. There's some, my first, do you have a first Eagles-Bills memory, Dan? Like, what's your first, you think, okay, Eagles-Bills, what's the first thing, like, you remember about those two teams playing each other? Do you have one?
Man,
There was a classic a couple years ago when the Bills went and if Gabe Davis turns the right way or Josh throws it over the right shoulder, whichever way you want to look at it, they leave Philly with an overtime
win.
Right,
you got the overtime win.
Yeah.
But then I remember, I believe it was one of the, I think it was the first matchup after the LeSean McCoy, Kiko Alonso trade.
Oh, yeah.
And Philly barely squeaked it out. And I was looking back at it. It's like Mark Sanchez was the starting quarterback.
23-20 in Philly. You know what I remember about that? That was in December. And it was unseasonably warm in Philly. It was like a really nice, like, December day in Philly that day. And they just shut down LeSean McCoy. He had nowhere to run that game. And that was like LeSean's return. 20 for 74 yards is what he had.
Yeah, and I remember that game. Mike Gillisley gets a touchdown that you never would have thought. 19-yarder.
So that's the first. Okay, I remember that. Yep. The Eagles, like I said, the Eagles came here in October of 11. It was like an unseasonably warm game, as I remember that. But that's the game at the very end. The Bills run a hard count, and the Eagles jump off sides, and the Bills keep the ball, and they win it by a touchdown. And they beat the... So it was the middle of October there, October 9th, 2011, in that one. My first one, now I will tell you, for some reason, like, I remember games from 83, 84. Like, I'm, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And they did play in 84, and they did play in 85. Two losses. But I don't really remember those games. The Bills were 2-14 in those years, back-to-back 84 and 85. They lose to the Eagles those years. The first one I really remember is the finale in 87. So in this game, Cornelius Bennett had just been traded to the Bills, okay, Halloween. And in this game, Cornelius Bennett had, I think, like four sacks or something like that. It was incredible. He was all over the place. And the Bills, it didn't matter. The Bills lost the game. Then Bennett, four sacks. Yeah, four sacks in this game. Three forced fumbles. He had four sacks and three forced fumbles. The Bills lose. This was the finale of 87. The Bills were out of it. 17-7. That's the first time I ever heard the term run for the bus. I'm like, what does that mean? It meant that the player's like, just get out of here. And I remember somebody like calling the radio, like WGR after him, like, yeah, everybody but Cornelius Bennett was running for the bus. And I'm like, what does that mean? Oh, I was a kid, right? Oh, they were just trying to get out of there and go home because the season's over. Bennett, though, he had just come to Buffalo a month before. Four sacks. That's the first Bills-Eagles game I really remember, which is weird because in 84 and 85, I was dialed in and they weren't very good. But the Bills lost a couple of times. Once in 84, they lose 27-17 at home. And once in 85, they go to Philly and lose 21-17. Last time these two teams played, 37-34 in overtime. I'm sure you all remember. In Philly, in the drizzle, rain. Bills get the ball about 20 seconds left. They decide not to try to score. Probably not a good decision. You could have gone down there. Maybe something bad happens. I get it. Like, why? But fans are upset. They go to overtime. They could have won it. All of a sudden, there is a throw to Gabe Davis where he turns the wrong way or Josh throws it on the wrong shoulder, whichever. Could have been a touchdown. It's not. Bills kick a field goal. Eagles come down. They score. Jalen Hurts runs it in to win the game. This was also a game where I remember the officiating was very, very suspect in this game. Very suspect. Was that Sean Hockley's crew, if I remember? Like, this is a Sean Hockley game.
Yeah, yes. It might have been.
Oh, yeah, it was. It totally was. I'm going to look at it right now. I remember, in fact, who is it? Andrew Brandt, who's on X and used to be with the Packers and all that. Andrew Brandt actually, during the game, literally wrote something on Twitter to the effect of, what did Sean McDermott ever do to Sean Hockley? Like, because he was like, oh my God, this is terrible. There was a horse collar they didn't call Josh Allen, right? Oh yeah, I remember that. You know what got me mad that game? I'm on the sidelines. And at one point it was like 8-0 Bills, like getting all the penalties. And I'm like, and I said to somebody who was an employee of like one of the Eagles sideline, like the flag guy or something like that. Somebody like that. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like 8 penalties against the Bills, none against the Eagles. What's going on here? And he looked at me dead serious and goes, well, they should stop committing them. I'm like, what are you doing? What? Oh man, I was mad.
That's killer.
Oh my God.
That's killer.
Bills lost that one. That was a tough one. Big game this week for both teams. The Eagles are not locked into the three. They can get the two. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about how they want to play things, how the Bills want to play things the next 2 weeks. And the Bills are still alive for the division, of course. But we'll get an injury update from Sean McDermott. He joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale.
Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.